You're listening to the Daily Actor Podcast. I'm Lance Carter, and in this episode, I'm talking with veteran casting director Kelly Martin Wagner. Casting director Kelly Martin Wagner has entered a new phase in her long career. She's a producer now. Alongside her partner Nick Phillips, they formed Revolver Picture Company, which is a horror genre production company. Kelly started out as a voiceover actor, but quickly moved into casting and has been doing it for over 20 years now, with films like Hostel, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, and The Devil Inside. I talked to Kelly about her new company and how she likes her role as producer. We also talked about casting and being a casting director, fighting for actors, and a whole lot more. You're going to like this interview. The first film from Revolver comes out this weekend. It's called Haunt. Check it out if you can. And now it's time for a couple plugs. If you need a website, casting director mailing labels, career coaching, list of headshot photographers in your area, we've got all of that and more. Check out dailyactor.com. And now, here's Kelly.
So you started out as a voiceover actress.
Yes, a million years ago.
Well, it wasn't that long ago, but yeah.
20.
How did you transition from doing that into casting?
Honestly, it wasn't sought out. I was pursuing voiceover acting. I grew up in Los Angeles, so I'd always been involved in the entertainment industry. I went to Crossroads in Santa Monica, and it was just all I ever knew. And after school, I moved to Telluride, Colorado for a year or so to get my bearings, and I came back, and I was pursuing voiceover work. It's my homeland. It's my favorite place. My parents still live there. It's amazing. So I came back after spending a year there and was pursuing voiceover and working a little bit, and I needed a day job, and a friend of mine managed Central Casting, and she said, oh, you know, we need a temp assistant or something. So great, I'll come do a temp job. And I was there for a little bit, and a friend of mine called and said, I'm doing a low-budget independent film, and I was probably 22 at the time, and they said, why don't you come in and audition, or I don't even really remember. They wanted me to come in and audition for something, and I read the script, and I said, you know what? This isn't me, and I really want to be a part of this. And I've been working at this casting company. I've been casting extras for the last couple months. Why don't I give casting a shot? And they were like, great, we don't have a casting director, super low-budget movie. So I kind of just fell into it. Ignorance was kind of bliss at the beginning. I went into it, and the first thing I ever did behind the camera was be the casting director on a film. So I fell into it, and then one job kind of just rolled over to the next.
Yeah,
it was the director of that first film was Brent Bell, who, you know, 12 years later I went on to do The Devil Inside with.
Yeah.
So we came full circle.
Yeah, because like looking at your at the things you've done, man, it doesn't look like you haven't not worked. You know?
No, it was one of those things that was meant to be, I guess. I just fell into it, and it kept rolling.
Yeah.
And it would just be project after project, but it was interesting because I didn't, at the beginning, work for anybody. I actually was the casting director, and so I kind of had to learn on my own for the first few films. And then a little bit in, I got the opportunity to go back and associate and help some bigger casting directors where I got to learn some tricks of the trade and how to kind of do things that I'd been winging before. But I was surprised to see that I'd been doing it well. I'd known it from the other side. I'd known it from going in and auditioning. So I just figured, oh, I'll flip the tables and pretend I'm the other person. And it worked out. So I ended up casting by fate, I guess. And definitely kind of fell into the horror genre.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I love. I was always a horror geek as a kid and a teen and loved horror movies. So I was happy to get the opportunity to be in that genre. And then I think after The Grudge, people would just call us for horror movies. And I just continued to cast from there.
I'm an actor as well, and I think I can sort of feel or tell, like, when a casting director has either done some acting or was an actor as well. You know what I mean? They have, you can feel that sort of empathy from their side.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there's, I said this in an interview last week actually, I think there's a big misconception. It's not even just empathy. We want you to do right. We want you to get the part. Because, you know, there's always those rumors that casting directors are against the actor and, you know, don't want you to do well, but it's the exact opposite. We're looking for you to do well. We want you to nail it each time. So, yeah, it was fun coming from that perspective around to the other side of the desk and just get the opportunity to get to know everybody and let them do their thing in the audition room, which, of course, an audition room is a totally different beast than being on set, as you would know. Mm-hmm. A whole different job.
Do you ever fight for actors? Like, you see something in them that maybe the director or producers don't?
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. If there's something we feel that it happens all the time. If there's something we feel like they're not seeing, sometimes they figure it out eventually. And look, sometimes I've been wrong. Sometimes I didn't see it right. But yeah.
Oh, you've been wrong yourself? Oh wow.
Oh sure. I've pushed for someone and then we've gone with someone else and I've thought, oh God, thank God we didn't go with that person. But yeah, I mean, with that, you know, I mean, 12 years in the casting, I guess, before I kind of moved out of it. Yeah, there's every situation.
Could you tell when an actor comes in unprepared?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if someone comes in and I'm thinking of some examples of people walking in and saying, you know, oh, hey, can I get some sides? Really? You haven't seen the sides yet? You know? Yeah, you can tell when they're unprepared in that respect. I don't believe in over-rehearsing, and I don't believe in over-preparation for an audition. So it can go two ways. If someone's over-prepared, it can be detrimental as well, because it means they don't have the fluidity to change up what we may need. So as you know, as an actor, imagine you're reading something on paper. A lot of times you're only getting the sides. You're not getting the full script. There's probably 200 different ways you could play that. So you're just going to make your best guess, and you're just going to go with how you saw and felt it. Well, that might not be the way that this film sees it, or the director sees it, and it's our job as a casting director to be able to help you transition into that. And if someone's over-prepared, they tend to not be able to get out of their head enough from what they've prepared to make the changes necessary.
Yeah, that's happened to me a few times, too.
Yeah, personally, I don't believe in coaching for a first audition.
Okay.
I think that for me, when someone comes in for me, I want to see who they are. I want to connect on a human level first. I've always had that. It may be frustrating to some actors. I tend to talk a little bit before the read, which sometimes people say throws them off. But that's life. That's driving to set. That's being on set. That's running into, you know, a glitch in hair and wardrobe. That's, you know, getting a phone call. Like, you can't live in that mentality.
Yeah. I love that. I walking into like a strange room or something and just having a bit of small talk beforehand, that just puts me at ease completely. So I love that. Yeah. Screw
from our perspective, from our perspective in our office, we're looking for a person, not a read. And I think that's where it can get confusing. I think people think they need to come in and nail the read. I don't care. I don't need to see somebody off book on a first audition. Nobody needs to, you know, I want you to hold your sides. I want you to be able to glance down. I want you to be able to use your own words, you know. You can fix the words later. You can rearrange the sentence later. It's about this. Sounds cheesy, but it's about your vibe, not about the words flowing out of your mouth.
Yeah.
You know, so that's always been something that's really important to me. That's what makes people stick out in our room, is who they are and how they are as a person in the situation.
Uh-huh.
Rather than, and especially when you're doing horror movies, you're not, we don't, you know, a lot of our auditions aren't screaming and being attacked. So we kind of have to trust that under those circumstances, you'll be fearful. We can envision how you would be under those circumstances.
So do you ever have to have somebody, like, yell and scream in the office? I mean, that's gonna be a day, you know?
Yeah, we have sometimes. A couple of the movies, on Exorcism of Emily Rose, we really had people go for it at the auditions. But then in other movies, like in the Hostel movies with Eli Roth, we did not have people do the death scenes. We had people do the dramatic scenes, the acting scenes, and we trusted that on set, under the circumstances, they'd be able to go there, and I feel we were right on all of them.
Why did you guys decide to sort of branch off and form Revolver?
Well, my partner, Nick Phillips, was an exec who used to hire me a lot to cast films. And I had known for a while that I kind of wanted to morph out of casting. As I said, I grew up in Los Angeles. I went to film school. I just felt like I had a lot more to say than just that sliver of the pie. And I found myself growing a little bit frustrated after the casting process was over, because then you just kind of say goodbye and you kind of wave as everyone goes off to location and hope that the movie works out, and you see them all at the premiere, and I just started to feel like I wanted to be involved in more of the picture.
I never thought of that. Yeah, you're right. You're totally right. Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah,
see that perspective, yeah.
So I had started to, you know, it took me a few years on the side of I'd started to go down that path. Sorry. Started to go down the path of associate producing or getting involved early on to help solidify talent to lock in their financing. So I'd start getting producer credits like that, and then finally I got an amazing opportunity to be in the financier spot and the production company spot. So Nick Phillips and I got together and started Revolver, and it's actually been wonderful because I obviously still get to participate in the casting process. And then I get to continue on with the whole film.
How do you like sort of your new role?
I love it.
Is it more work than you ever imagined, or is it just kind of like...
It's so different. The work as a casting director is very condensed. It's crazy full days for, you know, 8 to 10 weeks, and you're just enmeshed. And then I think as I pull back or out into the producer position, it's longer. It's you know, a movie is 8 months, a year of my life now, instead of 8 to 10 weeks. So there's a little bit more, I find more peace in it. I find that I'm more calm in knowing that I'm involved in the whole pie. It's just different work. It's not as condensed. Obviously, when we're in casting sessions, yeah, you're sitting in a room all day, and when you're on set all day. But there's just so much more. There's more to be excited about throughout the day.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
You know.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure it's different for everyone.
Are you still the main main casting person on for Revolver?
No, I own the company and I own my casting company.
Okay.
And I have a partner, Dominika Pazarin, who was my junior casting director for the last few years of Kelly Wagner Casting. And she's kind of stepped up in the ranks and she runs the day to day of casting. I'm there for producer sessions and just by osmosis of needing to know what's going on and knowing, you know, I'm always asking her to tell me what's going on or I'm getting involved, but I'm not the day-to-day on the phone scheduling.
Yeah.
I don't do the kind of, I guess, happily moved out of sitting in the room all day every day.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
hard, you know? I mean, you've got, I'm an empathetic person and I'm a nervous person and I find it hard to sit in a room with 30 different people all day and take in all the energy, you know?
Yeah.
I want them all to succeed so badly.
Well, that's gotta be hard because now you're like the one who hires everybody, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's a committee of us, myself, Nick, Dominika weighs in heavily, who's ever directing, you know. Yeah, no, they're definitely, in this last movie we did, there was a couple actors that I'd worked with before, and it was hard because I knew them well, and I wanted it for them, and I knew they knew that I was now in the power position, but I still wanted it to be just perfect, you know, so.
Yeah, you guys have a film, I think it's coming out this weekend or next weekend, it's called Haunt?
Yeah, Haunt was our first film as a company, and it came out on VOD on February 7th, and it comes out on theaters this Friday.
Okay.
So please see it. If you follow us on Facebook or Twitter, Instagram, Revolver Picture Company, it'll give you all the information. But yeah, it's coming out this Friday in theaters. And then we have a follow-up film called Beneath that will be coming out. We haven't been given the exact release date, but I'm guessing probably end of August, sometime in September, which is our second film, which we're really proud of. You know, we've been up and running for just a year and a half, and we shot two films, we sold two films, and they're both coming out, and we're actually now prepping two more.
Awesome, awesome. How do you guys find your scripts?
Mostly through the normal channels of the agencies, and because Nick and I had both been in the horror genre for so long, a lot of filmmakers, producers, directors, writers, people we've worked with before, but primarily through the proper channels of the agencies, friends, family, I don't know, everywhere. Anywhere you can get your hands on one. We read hundreds of them. And that's actually something that's very interesting and very different from when I was casting. When I was casting, I could do 15 movies a year. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you're non-exclusive. You can juggle a couple at a time. You can say yes to everything. You can say, yeah, I kind of really like this. You know, I want to do this. But now, producing and financing them, I can do maybe 1.5 a year. So that's actually the hard part, is having to say no to so many things and so many people who I really respect, and projects that I would say I do really like, but we can't do them all, so it has to be the golden apple to us.
How many scripts are you reading a year? Because I think that would be like the thing for me. I'd be like, oh, I got to read another script. Even if they're good, I would just be so, yeah. You know, I wouldn't want to do it.
That's so me. I mean, Nick is a fantastic reader, thank God. He'll read 3 a day.
Oh.
So he'll filter for me. I am a terrible reader, always have been. I would much rather sit down with a book. It takes me so long to read a script that people think that I don't like it. And it's literally just that's how my brain operates.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that part is very hard, the amount of scripts that we have to read. I mean, we're probably getting, you know, we probably get 15 to 20 scripts a week. And, you know, you can also kind of tell first 10, 20 pages,
yeah,
just in the style of writing, if it's going to be for you or not. But it's those ones that you're not sure on that you just keep reading. And then you come away, like, for instance, on Friday morning, I got sent a script, and I had a minute, and I was like, okay, I'm going to start it. Heads up to the people who sent it to me. I'm a really slow read. I couldn't set the thing down. I was done in 45 minutes.
Nice.
So every once in a while, you get that script. And that's when you kind of know, you know, and it's hard because it's art, it's an opinion, it's not a fact, and it's personal to everybody.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I feel the same about acting. It's art, you know. I mean, I've had two movies going simultaneously where one actor has come in, and on one film they thought they were terrible and hated them, and on the second film they couldn't wait to get them the offer. So it really just is opinion. And you really have to give everyone whoever you can, a chance in each situation. You can't determine that someone's not good just because someone didn't want them on one film. I will never, that's one thing I have never done, is I don't give feedback. I don't believe in feedback.
Yeah.
But it's a simple answer. You're either in for this film, this role that you just came in for, or you're not. You know, you're either up for this one or you're not. It doesn't mean you were bad. 30 people can audition for a role. All 30 can be great, but only one can do it. And so if this is an actor's site and I'm speaking to actors, I always want to say to actors, it doesn't mean you did something wrong if you don't get the part. And to have agents call you all day and say, well, what did they do wrong? Well, they didn't do anything wrong. They just weren't the one person who's going to get the role. In fact, they maybe did 10 things right, you know, 10 out of 10 things right. It's just for whatever reason, someone else is going to be better for this role.
Do you,
someone taught me a long time ago, and I really appreciated this. I want to say it was Sebastian Gutierrez said to me on a film probably 8 years ago, you don't always hire the best actor, you hire the best person for the role.
Right.
And that really stuck with me.
I've also heard people say, you get the actor you're supposed to get, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of along the same lines.
Uh-huh.
It's the right person for the role. It's the person who's
going to... Have you ever had somebody who was just kind of bad in the room, but yet you kind of saw something in them and brought them back for another part on a different project?
I'm sure I have at one point. I mean, it's someone... Very rarely is there a situation where just someone comes in and you're just like, oh, this person is just bad. I just never want to see this person again. Most of it, you know, I mean, for me at least, I'm like, okay, not for this role. I don't really focus on the no's and the negatives. I really move off of them quickly. So, yeah, people do usually get a lot of opportunities in our office.
Yeah.
Because I tend to not remember the people that weren't good or weren't right.
Yeah.
You know? Every once in a while you get someone who's just not good, and you're like, they're never going to be able to figure this out for anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never really focused on that, so I don't really know that answer.
Thanks, Kelly, and thank you guys for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Follow me on Twitter at Daily Actor and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/Daily Actor. Thanks so much for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance. I'll talk to you soon.